We have grandchildren around, and we have great-grandchildren, mm-hmm. and we are so lucky.
I'll tell you the instance we had with that one that it came up and fixed the car.
Oh, after his party, the only grandchild that couldn't come to his party was our grandson, Harley. He was in the cities, and his job kept him away. And the next day, we were having a little issue with our car. Our car is old like we are. And Harlan was in the garage, and it was one of those cold, windy, awful days, and he was out there.
It was a signal light.
Yeah, and he was having a time with it. And the doorbell rang, and it was supper time. And I said, oh, who is that now? And I went to the door, and it was our grandson, Hurley. There he stood. Hi, Grandma. He had a bag from Bridgman's holding my favorite sandwich. He had another bag with Harlan's hot beef sandwich, which he knows he loves. Came in, and he said, where's Grandpa? I said, oh, he's in the garage. He's fixing something. He said, okay. He went out in the garage, and 2 minutes later, they were back in the house. He had already fixed it, and he sat and had supper with us, and it was wonderful. We got to see this wonderful guy.
That is great.
Yeah. Like I say, we are so blessed.
Mm-hmm. What was it like raising a family in Two Harbors? Well, I guess I should back up. When did you move to Two Harbors?
When we got married.
When you got married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was born and raised here.
Mm-hmm. So what year was that?
1961. And we decided to settle on land next to my mother. My mother was in bad health.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wonderful son-in-law, and he was a wonderful son to his mother. That's another reason why I thought he was okay. He treated his mother so nicely.
That's a nice indicator.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law said, you know, you've got this land, you know, next to Grandma. If you want to build a house, I'll help you. So he bought this book, and you know what it said? How to build a house. And that's what he went by. From the footings, everything, he built us this wonderful house that we raised our kids in. He's pretty sharp with a hammer and nails, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful place to raise a kid because it's dead end. So
on the edge of town where there was plenty of woods for the kids.
They were in the woods
building. How many acres was it that you...
18 acres. My folks had settled that place, and we had a small farm there. So we had three cows and chickens and, you know, enough for our family. And so he really thought that was a nice place to live, and so he decided to build a house and... When you know, when you tell a Norwegian Swede Finn that they can't do something, they will say, oh, yes, I can, and they do.
So you figured out how to do the building.
That was fun, and I had the talent there.
Yeah, and his job, he worked for Reserve Mining Company,
mm-hmm.
and he was a welder there, and he retired the year before they shut down.
When I worked for Reserve, I had welded someplace else, and I wasn't a real welder, but I told him, I'm a welder. So there I was. I learned how to weld.
Okay. Had enough experience to
yeah.
get started and learned the rest as you went. Were you a welder for your whole career there?
Yes. Yeah. I retired from there with how many years?
Over 25 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Driving that terrible road from Two Harbors to Silver Bay, in winter storms that were just awful. Every time he went to work, I wondered if he was going to make it, but mm-hmm. he did.
A couple times I went by and I looked down at Lake Superior. I think I'd like to drive in there and forget about all this crap.
Oh, dear.
So I was not liking what I was doing.
Oh, so it was a job more than a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have some coworkers you enjoyed being with?
Oh, yeah. Bunch of nice guys.
You know, they offered a tour of the plant for employees' families. And I found out where he had to weld, hanging from this apparatus over these big crushers and things. I thought, I should not have seen this. This is not a good thing.
So sometimes the welding was done where you were hanging from an apparatus?
Yeah, when you were above the crusher, the fine crusher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
If you know anybody that works there, they're earning their money. But then he retired and I continued. I work for the school district and I continued to work 13 more years. So he became the homebody.
Nice.
And I said, I just expect to see the bed made and no dishes in the sink when I come home. The rest of it is up to me.
Wow. Well, she helped. Between our both monies, we made it.
Yeah.
So.
When you work for mining companies, it's either peaks and valleys. You know, you're going great guns or you're laid off. So
you lived through some layoffs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So one of my sons said, can I put some stuff on your cap? He bought me a cap and this.
And I can read that. And it says 100th Infantry Division, World War II.
Mm-hmm. And landed in southern France with the 100th Division.
And you have a star on it.
Yeah, the division itself was given this. And
that's
I have another cap with this on it and an infantry badge. And, I didn't have the things to put on it, so I took a wrench and squeezed them sideways.
So you jerry-rigged the pin.
Yeah. Harlan is the master of jerry-rigging all kinds of things. He and duct tape are friends as well.
It sounds like you've enjoyed all kinds of hobbies of building things and making things.
Yes.
And you should probably know that he is a golfer. He loves golf, and he is going to play one time a week this year. He has a date on Wednesday with his good friend, and they're going golfing.
My good friend is a husband or our pastor. She's a very nice lady.
Mm-hmm. You're involved at United Church?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And has that been a continuous involvement for you over the years?
Yeah. He was raised a Lutheran, but then he married me, who was a Methodist, and we lived here in Two Harbors. So he's been a United Church person longer than he was a Lutheran, which, you know, we're all the same, just worshiping the same God, so it's all worked out fine.
What are some of the other ways you've been involved in the community?
He threw lutefisk for the Swedes at the lutefisk toss on Heritage Days. That's pretty involved.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
We were interviewing some people. Yeah,
we
saw the lutefisk toss.
Yeah, he's got a good arm, even throwing lutefisk. He's a pretty good athlete.
That's fun. What are some of the ways it seems like Two Harbors has changed over the years?
Oh, I can tell you.
Why don't you do it? You grew up here.
When I grew up here, Two Harbors was a bustling little community. And, of course, there was no freeway. So everything was here. We had a theater. We had downtown Two Harbors, had dress shops, men's clothing stores, a lot of taverns. Super One was National Foods and was down on First Avenue. You know, when I was growing up, there was a drugstore on one corner that was Falk's Drugs. Across the street was James Drugs. Anything you needed in town, you could get it in the community. You know, if you were a farmer, you went to the co-op and you went in the back door and you got chicken feed and whatever you needed. And, you know, it was all here. I have a group of friends that we meet once a month and we talk about what used to be. One of our friends can remember who lived on what corner 75 years ago. I don't go back that far, but she is really good at it. You know, it's fun to remember, and it would be nice to see it happen again in good ways, you know.
Yeah, it's still a good community, but it's definitely changed.
Oh, it has changed, except for the library. Our library is there. And thank goodness for that. And I think anybody who is able to raise their children in a small town with a good school district, you got everything going for you right there.
Mm-hmm. You want to share any thoughts about, what helped you live a long life?
Well, it just happens. You eat well, you talk a little bit. And,
can I contradict him? He is the master of the fast food lovers organization. French fries, cheeseburgers, anything that's not good for you, he loves it. And here he is, 100 years old.
Sometimes you get lucky.
That's right. His sister was 92 when she passed away and had lived a good long life.
Mm-hmm.
And she was paddling her kayak in the Boundary Waters when she was 90.
Oh, my.
So Harlan and his sister were tough.
So good genes is part of it.
Can I tell you how he learned how to swim? Am I allowed to tell
yeah.
you? Okay. When he was about 6 or 7, he was living in Duluth. He and his brother were 4 years apart, and he tagged along with brother to go play with your own friends. But
well,
they went.
We were there, and I went down the bottom and came up.
No, I gotta set the scene here. So they went to Lincoln Park, where Miller Creek comes out, and there's mm-hmm. a big swimming hole, very deep. And the kids were all swimming. So he jumped in, and of course he couldn't swim. So he got out in the middle of the pool, and he sunk to the bottom. And then he came up, and then he went to the bottom, and he came up, and he went to the bottom, and he came up. And one of his brother Harvey's friends realized that he was in trouble, so he dragged him out. So the next day, he decided on his own that he was going to teach himself how to swim. So he went up there all by himself, jumped in the pool, and paddled and found out he could be dog paddle. And hey, I can swim. Now, why he survived that is beyond me.
Oh, my.
It's no wonder his mother was a very nervous woman.
That's the place where I learned how to swim was from there to here. Mm-hmm. A little bit more. And I thought, well, I'll just jump in here and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I stayed up in the water. And mm-hmm. I didn't tell Moss what I was doing, but they didn't care what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, kids went out to play in the morning, and they came in maybe to get a peanut butter sandwich, and they went out and played until it was time to come in and eat supper.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a little scary days, but it was a wonderful time for kids, too. We didn't worry about all the mm-hmm. the nasty things that happened, mm-hmm. no.
When you were a kid, was still while the Depression was on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like for you?
I didn't pay any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he remembered his mother and dad. There was a little corner store on every corner, and they had a little charge account. And, of course, everything got written on this little thing, And at the end of the two-week period, they paid it up. And he said, my dad and mother re-added everything to make sure that it was right, because a nickel really counted,
yeah.
That's
living in Duluth then.
Yeah, and that's why he had the charge account at Columbia Clothing, because his mother and dad were scraping by, and mm-hmm. He wanted to play football really bad, but he had this massive paper route, and that had to come first.
How many places did you deliver to on your paper route?
Well, there was about 4 blocks on one street. You deliver here, and you deliver there, and you get the papers down here on Superior Street to go up here over 6th Street, and you go along 4 blocks, and then you're right by Denfield High School. You're done.
And I made a few bucks. And he can still roll a paper perfectly and throw it.
And my brother would clean house, make a few bucks for mother. He was home and he was all done and everything was clean and everything. I come and sat down in a chair and flopped my leg over here, and that wasn't the thing to do. He just wasn't very nice for him. But we did okay together.
His experience with the police was, he was really a cute little boy too. He's sitting on the curb and these two girls that were a little bit older and a little bit more worldly sat down on either side of him. And he was so worried that somebody was going to see him because he'd have to go to reform school. Because he was enjoying this time with these two girls, and he was really worried about. And back then, reform school was a big thing that you were threatened with. If you don't behave, you'll have to go to reform school. But he managed to get home and not get arrested. So.
Well, we've been kind of talking all over the stretch of your life. How would you like to be remembered? What would you like people to remember about you?
I don't know.
That you're a good, honest man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a good father. On summer days when he would come from work, the boys would all have ice cream buckets filled with water. And when Dad pulled up, he got out of the car and he grabbed his ice cream bucket and the race was on. They would chase each other and try to get each other with the ice cream bucket. And they'd all end up drenched, and it was delightful to see. Every dad should get out and play with their kids.
And then we played baseball.
Yeah.
In the field, and we played hide and seek.
Yes, in the dark.
And Charlie was following me, and I said, Charlie, you find your own place.
Charlie thought it was fun to follow Dad because then he didn't have to find his own place. He just tied with Dad. Didn't work. That is the nicest thing I think about. Every father should play with their kids, not just be there. But of course, he never grew up, so that worked out well for him.
Well, maybe staying a big kid has helped you live a long time.
Yeah.
Up until last year, he was riding his bike all over the place, the bike that the kids watch, and was upset with himself that he couldn't go up this hill without having to stop in between. I said, at that time he was 99 years old. I said, you're 99 years old. It's okay for you to stop in the middle of the hill and catch your breath. You
know? Well, it's pretty amazing. You're doing very well.
Yes.
On his 100th birthday, he said, well, no, going for 101.
Well, you don't demand life. You take what comes.
Well, that's a lovely note to end on, unless there's anything else you'd like to add.
People are nice.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan. Thank you very much for coming in.
Is that good enough?
Oh, that's great.
Well, thanks for the fun.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in.
Both of you.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
This is Harlan Olson. This is KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota.